Now I welcome Lars Heikensteen for concluding remarks. There you are.
Thank you. I think you agree with me that we have had an interesting morning here. At least I have learned a great deal. It will not be possible to summarize this, of course, but I might come with a few reflections on what I have heard. First of all, we had Hans presenting the figures and discussing the different definitions used when one is discussing foreign aid. And I think the only conclusion one can draw from that is that one will need different definitions for different purposes. But it's important to know what one is talking about when one is bringing an issue up for policy discussion. It seems as if there is a general belief in bilateral aid, at least among populations in many countries. They prefer that to multilateral aid, and also one can see reasons why governments would prefer that. I suppose that the reasons why the public prefers bilateral aid is that they believe that in one way or another is more efficient. Perhaps the public also cares about policy ambitions of their own countries. And when it comes to the government, I suppose it is probably both as well, but more perhaps focus on achieving other policy aims. However, one can, of course, question if bilateral aid is more efficient. And Helen Milner did that, but as I understood it, primarily a priori, so to say, with the starting point that, you know, it should be a point that they do not, on the multilateral level, need to take in the policy ambitions of the various countries, and this should be an advantage. Also, the pooling of costs and so on should help. But how it really is in reality, at least I don't know. I would imagine, and people have said that here, that there are a lot of studies on that, and it could be interesting, I suppose, to try to summarize that and also try to think through in what areas one or the other forms of aid might be better. If there are differences between different aid categories, perhaps there are differences between different countries, I don't know. But this seems to me to be an important area to look at and to try to come back to. I said from the beginning, and Lennart underlined that multilateral organizations, of course, have more purposes than delivering aid. At the same time, I have some difficulty with Lennart's argument that one had only managed to close down four, I think you said, over time. I mean, that might be a reason why it's a waste of time to try to close them down. You could possibly argue that, but I would think that long-term that's a rather dangerous attitude to take if one wants to convince taxpayers to give money to multilateral organizations. So I think that one needs really to think through, each country needs to think through if they really want to contribute to activities that they don't think make sense, so to say. I would hope that there is, at least judging from have been consultants to some of them over the years, I would hope that some of them would be possible to close down. Having said that, I mean, it's probably more important to try to focus on how to improve them. And this is also what we spent most of the time discussing. And we focused, several speakers focused on evaluation. I enjoyed the presentations of the UK approach and of MOPAN. And I suppose for us in the expert group, what's interesting here is try to look at these kind of experiments or these kind of setups and perhaps analyze if a strategy when it comes to evaluation could be set up that would fit a small country such as ours. One would think that it would be more natural for us perhaps to join with others in a MOPAN-like system, and someone mentioned that something similar had been done on the Nordic level. Previously, initiatives had been taken on the Nordic level, and that's of course one possible option. I'm a strong believer, though, in a systematic approach to these things. It's only when you have the systematic approaches that, even if they are rough, that you identify weak points. And I have no difficulty assuming that this is an area where most of the actors have vested interest or are insiders And particularly in areas of that kind, it will require very systematic approaches if you are ever going to be able to get much done, I think. I'm also a very firm believer to involve, as you said, the actual actors, or the politicians, or the people who are going to take the decisions here. Because the evaluations need to be framed in such a way that they can actually take them up and do something with them. And it is very much, I suppose, a political issue in the end. Unless you have the politicians prepared to engage in these areas, not much will happen. And I often think about the European Union setup, where you have 27 people, 27 countries in the Ministry of in the ECOFIN, who are going to take decisions on a budget. And even though that budget is as big as Romania's GDP, so it's a fairly big chunk of money. For each finance minister, it's not more than 2% or whatever of the money they are dealing with. And then they're going to negotiate with 27 others on that 2%. So it's fairly obvious what you would do as a finance minister. You would concentrate on your own budget. And in the end, of course, the EU budget are then run by the insiders and the vested interests. And I would be very much inclined to think that the same thing happens in this area to a substantial extent. And I don't know the solution to that, but you need to have the ultimate decision makers involved, the people who are representing actually the voters in the end, if you're going to get trust into these systems. I think that traditional values that we at least have tended to think of as ours in this country, openness, efficiency, good governance, and so on, are values that have, not least transparency today, are very much in line with time. And so the Swedish politicians should not hesitate to push these issues really hard in the various international contexts. And I think they can do that more than they do, but of course on the basis of good background material where some of the things that we've been talking about here can be used. I also think that one should be aware that the way we act can also influence decisions in international organizations by being a role model. Of course, we cannot be good in everything, but we could try to be good in something. And if we are really good in some areas, that's another way of trying to influence international discourse on foreign aid. Well, these were some quick reflections on my part. Once again, thank you so much for coming this morning, in particular to Sharon and to all the speakers, and to all the rest of you who gave up Christmas shopping for sitting here discussing multilateral aid this morning. Thank you so much.